The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, August 30th, 2019. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and Bill's heading back from vacation today. He'll be back in the studio on Tuesday after a short vacation to recover from his vacation. He and his wife, Ann, spent some time in British Columbia and posted a lot of great memories on his Facebook page. Be sure to check them out. The Buckmaster Show is heard live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. right here on 1030 a.m., trusted local talk. And we are live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. On Fridays, Bill always acknowledges the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Local Media, Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of those and more on his website, so check it out. In today's Friday Focus interview, we are talking to Randy Graff. He is the new president and CEO of the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce and a former state legislator. If you want to call and join the discussion, call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Joining me is Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Welcome, Dylan.
Indeed.
And
always great to kind of take over the airwaves in Bill's absence, right?
Yeah, I always wonder if he's sorry. But the man needs a vacation. He deserves one. He's super hardworking. And so you've been sitting in. I've been sitting in. A couple of others, Shelley Fishman and others. So it's great to give Bill a break.
Indeed.
So welcome, Randy Graff.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks. Great to have you. Congrats on your new role. You've been in it about 5 weeks, so that's a newish CEO for us, I guess. And share with us a little bit of your life's path to this job. I hear you're pretty good at golf, and that's how you ended up in Green Valley.
I ended up in Green Valley back in 1984, so I've been down there. It'll be 35 years come November, and at that time I was in the golf profession. But since then, in my time down there, I've spent 4 years in the legislature, done some community relation work, been in sales the last 4.5 years. And so all that, I think, leads to a pretty good fit here at the Chamber in Green Valley, Sahuarita. It's sort of a close-knit community. You've been there, you know.
Yep,
how it
love
is.
It.
So been there long enough now to where I'm old enough to actually live anywhere in Green Valley.
Which is 55 plus. Because
for most, yes.
If you'd been 55 back in 1984, you'd be like 108 now. So,
journalism math there, ladies and gentlemen.
But when I got there, I mean, you know, Green Valley was about 10,000 people. Sahuarita hadn't been incorporated yet. So the whole community was about 12,000. And now here we are today with close to 60,000.
Oh, wow.
And a strong, growing community.
So you skipped over a great part of your life's journey, which is at the state legislature. When were you there?
I was there 2001 through 2004.
And it felt like a lot longer?
Actually, the time went by pretty quickly.
I think you enjoyed
it. It was interesting. I did enjoy it. It you know, you get involved in a lot of issues. You learn a lot what's going on at the state level. And one of the roles that chambers play is obviously advocacy with our elected officials and government. You know, the old saying where if you're not at the dinner table, you may be on the menu. And so the business community has to keep their eye on what's going on at all levels of government.
And this is not new to you because you have been involved with the chamber for years.
I have. I started chairing the Government Relations Committee back in 2007. I was on the board for the last 2.5 years, so active with the chamber. I thought I knew a lot what was going on there, but when you're sitting on the other side of the desk,
yes,
a little bit more involved, but the first 5 weeks we're getting our arms wrapped around it all.
I know that that you guys are not only a chamber, but you are also a designated state visitor center.
We are. We got that designation with the Arizona Office of Tourism. Oh, I'm guessing probably close to 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we get a lot of traffic through our office. You get the sign out on the freeway saying visitor center. So we have a large foyer that and a front office area that has a lot of information on tourist activities all over southern Arizona. So it brings in the wintertime particularly, we'll have thousands of people come through our office every month. And so it's a good opportunity to introduce them to the community. to our business community, and so they know what's going on in the area. And it we do a lot too with relocation packages and whatnot. People contacting us to get information on the community. So.
And it is a nationally known community, a great place to retire. It's got, you know, the climate. It has proximity to a big metro area, but it's not in it. It is a huge number of volunteers. Now we have a hospital. Now we're going to get a second one. Proximity to Mexico, which is important to some people. They love that. So what's not to like about it?
A lot of advantages. The town of Sarita Incorporated, they're celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. So, you know, they're growing and expanding and And we've got a great working relationship with the town of Sarita and Victor Gonzalez with their economic development crew over there. And yes. So we work hand-in-hand on a number of projects.
We own about 30 newspapers in 11 states, and I was surprised earlier this year to see out of Montrose, Colorado, that the chamber, which had been around for 130 years, closed down, and that got me to looking around at the rest of the country and how our chamber is doing in other places, and to just make sure we put it all on the table here. They had four other groups in Montrose that were dealing with things like tourism and economic development, and so they had almost kind of supplanted it, and they had a hard time finding a head of the chamber who would stick around. But our chamber's still relevant.
Our chamber is relevant. It's strong. You did mention Montrose, so I took an opportunity to look at it. And the community there has been, it hasn't grown in the last 10 years. I think their population has stayed the same. So you don't know the particulars going on
Correct.
There. But with our community, Sarita is one of the fastest growing communities in Arizona. There's always going to be need for, you know, more businesses as the community grows, more services, more products net. So, and with the visitor center and everything we've got going on, and we're fortunate that the two combined communities work hand in hand and complement each other.
We're going to get into a little bit more of why you think you are still relevant, but you mentioned the town of Sahuarita, and I think that was a good time to acknowledge the bad news that we got this week. Bob Sharp, who is the founder and visionary of Rancho Sarita, which makes up a little bit more than half the town, died on Wednesday. He had glioblastoma, which is a brain cancer, and his last few years were dedicated to raising awareness of it and fighting it. And as he said, showing gratitude, being positive, and just enjoying life, and he truly did do that.
Yeah, our condolences go to Jeremy and his entire family.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Bob, you know, when Sarita formed 25 years ago, Bob was the big developer there and really had the vision for
Absolutely.
How that community was going to grow. So.
I was talking to Michael Rossi, a lobbyist in Arizona today, and he said, yeah, he would agree that it would be very, very difficult to pull off today what Bob did, you know, starting actually back in the 80s and then really getting rolling in the 90s. And then Rancho Sarita signed its first home, sold its first home in 2002, and it's really grown. And, you know, and being a developer, it puts you at odds with an awful lot of people. You are very unpopular at times, but he stuck to the vision, and he was very persistent.
Well, what you learn, I mean, I think when Sarita first incorporated, a lot of folks there were hoping that Sarita would stay small.
Right.
And you can't stop growth. You can control it. And I think they've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I was actually at a meeting, and I've been there 10 years, a town council meeting a few years ago. And actually a woman said, I'm here, now shut the gate. Okay, don't allow any more growth.
I haven't heard that in 35 years in Green Valley.
I tell you, yeah.
In Sarita, so.
I thought, well, she's honest, but I get what she's saying, but I don't think that's quite how it works. So a couple years ago when Steve Christie was running for supervisor, got the job, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him, and that is, why did you want this job?
Well, like I said, my activity with the chamber for the last 12 years, I think it's a comfortable fit, being a resident in Green Valley and knowing a lot of the players and knowing what's going on down there. You know, Joe Ersig was
yes.
in there as the president CEO
great
for
guy.
A little over 2 years. Great guy. And you can understand coming into a community like that, it'd probably be difficult going into any tight-knit community and taking on this type of role. You know, the last 4.5 years, I was doing sales and driving back and forth to Tucson and absolutely enjoyed that. And it was a good learning experience. And I think it'll help me in this role as president and CEO because we've got to be relevant to our members. You know, we've got to have a product that the businesses feel there's a need to belong to the chamber. So there's everything from sales, community relations work, which I'd been involved in for years, from the political standpoint and being an advocate for the business community. The thing I tell everybody is, you know, the Green Valley Serita Chamber of Commerce, we're not a subdivision of the U.S. Chamber or the Arizona right. Chamber. We are our own entity, 501c6 corporation. We've got about 430 members, give or take, right now. And we've got to prove relevance to them to keep them as members, retain them, and grow and get new members. And I think Ben Franklin said, if the minute you finish changing, you're finished. And so we've got to evolve. And chambers are doing things differently now than they were doing 10, 15, 20 years ago. And we're no different.
Okay. We are talking to Randy Graff. He is the new CEO of the Green Valley Sahuadita Chamber of Commerce. And when we come back, we're going to dig into a little bit deeper about what the goals of the chamber are. And is Green Valley still trying to figure out exactly what it is? So this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and a whole lot more. I've been over there. Dylan, you've been over there.
Indeed, and I'm told today is somebody's birthday in this room.
Well, where's my Danish Kringle?
Well, that's what I'm going to say. I'm not quite sure if Mona's does some sort of like special birthday Kringle,
I assume they
would whip one of those up were one to ask.
Well, having had several, I could tell you that they're actually awesome.
So happy birthday, Dan.
Very good. Thank you.
If you and I were friends on Facebook, I would have known it was your birthday today.
Oh, there's a happy birthday song. Thank you. Yeah. I actually have lied about my birth date on Facebook. It says January 1st, 1904. So anyway, let's go back to
Mona's.
And
you're a little bit older than that.
There we go. Thank you, Green Valley. I fit right in. They have wonderful baked goods over there, also breakfast and lunch, and they do it well. And Bill brings things into the studio on occasion, and I notice it's rarely when I'm scheduled to be on, so I miss out a lot of this. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, or check them out on Facebook. We will be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, FlowersRieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This is Dan Scheer sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who is flying back home today. Actually, we are with Randy Graff. He is the new CEO of the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce, and we're joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. And Randy, we're talking a little bit about the goals of the chamber and how we're going to get there. And Green Valley, every community likes to think it's unique. Green Valley is unique. I mean, it's this retirement community. It's a wonderful place to be, but I'm going to guess it's sometimes tough because of the reputation of older people not wanting to spend money to draw retail there. But you do rely a lot on Sahuarita, and of course you cover that area with the chamber. But what are some of the goals of the chamber, immediate goals?
Well, our immediate goals, about a year and a half ago, the board went through a strategic planning process to set our goals for the next 10 years, 20 years. And what came out of that, and we started developing it this year, we need to become more business-centric. So what can the chamber do to help our businesses be successful? We're still going to continue to have our networking opportunities. We're going to be an advocate for the business community. Like I said, when we're talking to the state legislature and Pima County on issues that are important to businesses, I like to make sure people understand that every time a tax increase goes in, it always seems to be couched in the terms of, oh, it's only going to cost the average person a latte a month or the average homeowner a latte a month. Well, your average home is a $150,000 valuation and they pay at a 10% rate. Your typical business property valuation is closer to $1 million and they pay at an 18% rate. So that one latte a month is 12 lattes a month to a small business. So if the fire district, the school district, the county, the library district all raise taxes just a little bit, it adds up to real money for local businesses and small businesses that may be difficult. But the big thing we're embarking on, we started this spring, was interviewing. We interviewed 60 businesses, most of them chamber members, but not all, in the Green Valley Sahuarita community. And we're embarking on what's called a business retention and expansion program. And these interviews were to find out what's going on truly in the business community, what the business community's needs are, so that we can start providing resources to address the issues that our business community is facing. And we're going to have some direct products that we can offer to our businesses through the chamber or connect them with outside resources to make sure that they're successful. And we're looking at moving that on early next year. And
so we've sort of heard you touch on this a little bit. What I want to know is, how do you tackle working with the town versus working in Green Valley, where you don't have an incorporated community, and how are your challenges different?
Well, when the town incorporated, they actually came down all the way to Duval Road, which at that time was considered Green Valley. So the town actually incorporated most of the business down there. Now, we've still got the Continental Shopping Plaza. You've got the Green Valley Village, which still has retail shops and service organizations and businesses there. Our chamber also has a lot of nonprofit in the area that serve the community. Small businesses, we got some of the larger businesses, I mean the Caterpillars and the Freeport MacMorans of the world. So we've got a wide range of members, but we've got a good working relationship with the town of Sahuarita. We actually entered into an agreement with them last year, and so we're working jointly on a lot of these things. And what we found doing these interviews was most of the businesses that are within the Sahuarita town limits rely on the Green Valley population as customers. And you mentioned right. You were concerned about the retired folks and not wanting to spend money. Some, yes, absolutely. Some are on fixed incomes and whatnot. But everybody's got their hobbies and everybody's got their needs. And I think we've got a good mix of business in the Green Valley Sahuarita community. And like I said, our cooperative opportunities with the town are just in making that stronger.
And there's just like this veritable explosion of businesses, including Sprouts and a couple of pets stores and things like that have come along Duval Mine Road. And you mentioned Duval Road earlier, and if people know the geography down there, Duval Road is actually south of Duval Mine Road. So the town was real wise to put the boundary way down there, because it did get this huge business district in there.
And we get requests a lot of times. They're asking the chamber, how they want certain businesses to come down to that community. You know, why don't you get a Trader Joe's down here and things right. like that? And the chamber is somewhat limited in what they can do in that aspect. I mean, that's more zoning issues, and an entity like the town of Sarita has more control over that type of thing. But a lot of those businesses, they rely on they need a certain population before they'll even look at a community. And then, you know, you've got a Home Depot just 15 minutes up the road from Sarita. Right. So, you know, the companies like that and corporations like that are going to look at, is the population grown enough to where it's worthy of putting a new store or location?
And you talked about earlier talking to businesses and finding out what they want and what they need. And we know that, you know, if you like to eat, it doesn't mean you should open a restaurant, because there's marketing, there's doing the books, there's a lot of things that go into it besides the food. What do you suspect is going to be one of the bigger needs among small business owners in that area?
What we found during the interview process, I mean, we asked questions about their demographics. You know, how are revenues? Are revenues up this year over last year? You know, just in general terms. We found that revenues, as a rule of thumb, were up for most of the businesses. It didn't necessarily mean the profits were up to that same sure. extent. Employment, finding workers, it seems like there are enough workers, but in skilled workers, we need more skilled workers for a lot of the businesses down there. So these are some of the general topics that we addressed in the interview process that will give us an opportunity to put programs together. We're working with the Sarita Unified School District, for example. We're working with them on an intern and apprenticeship programs and things like that that can help the business community.
We're talking to Randy Graff. He's the CEO of the Green Valley Sahuadita Chamber of Commerce, but you've also, as we talked about earlier, served in the state legislature. So I want to kind of back up a little bit and get a bigger view, because I'm very curious about your thought on this. I know you are a fan of Southern Arizona, but a lot of people believe that we are routinely overlooked by Phoenix, Maricopa County. Would you agree with that? And how do you get the attention of chains or big businesses that possibly could? How do you lure them south, or do we not want to?
Well, when you look at the economy of Arizona in general, we're near the top of states around the country as far as economic growth. Most of that growth is in Phoenix and Maricopa County. You know, it was always a challenge here in Pima County and the city of Tucson, and to the extent that the policies put forward by the county and the town and the city of Tucson were difficult for the business community. We're one of the highest tax. We are the highest tax county in the state. So, you know, those present some challenges, and yes, you know, can we improve just the airport, Tucson Airport, and how many flights are coming in and out of Tucson and direct flights? That's always a challenge to try to get those flights to help the business community. And you know, we're fortunate with Raytheon and some of the larger employers, but the largest employers in our geographic area tend to be government entities, whether the University of Arizona, the county, the city of Tucson, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So that a challenge? Yes, but we're not growing as fast, and our economy is not as strong as the Maricopa and Phoenix area. But that is something that we're fortunate with Marana, Oro Valley, the town of Sarita, all seem to be much more in tune to the business community and trying to help them survive and thrive. So we'll continue working with them and trying to make our business community as strong as possible.
Okay, we got about a minute left with Randy Graff. He is the CEO of Green Valley Sahuadita Chamber of Commerce. So I'm going to throw you a curveball for your last question. Green Valley has had four failed attempts at incorporation over the years, and I hear rumblings of it every once in a while. Sarita did it 25 years ago, very successful. Should Green Valley incorporate?
It's not a curveball, it's a fastball.
Give me a straight answer.
I will. I don't think Green Valley right now is in a position to be able to incorporate. I mean, you need a tax base and a revenue stream. Towns and cities typically thrive off of a sales tax. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough. Where Sarita came all the way down to Duval Road, they basically took most of the tax base revenue from businesses from a sales tax perspective. So I don't know that, and even when I was in the legislature, I worked on a bill that would have given a sort of a different type of incorporation opportunity for retirement communities. we might be able to get away with some state shared revenues, but it would be a very minimal size type government. And to the extent that you relieve Pima County from the responsibility of taking care of their government duties down in our community, I think it'd be difficult.
Okay, very good. We want to thank our guest, Randy Graff, CEO of the Green Valley Sewatita Chamber of Commerce. You can learn more about them and what they're up to at greenvalleysewatita.com. And we want you to stick around for our roundtable coming up. We're going to have Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star and Dylan Smith with TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be sticking around. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This is Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News, Sawadita Sun. It's time for our Friday roundtable. It's where we gather a few journalists, bat around the issues. But first, let's revisit Mona's Danish Bakery.
Where is that again?
It's at Sunrise and Swan, and it's lunchtime. That means owners Steve and Sherry are no doubt busy serving European baked goods. Breads, pastries, cakes, brownies are open for lunch. You can also get hot breakfast at Mona's Danish Bakery or a Danish Kringle for the birthday boy. Dylan, but you failed to do that, didn't you?
I thought about it. I'm dropping the ball here, man. I'm very sorry.
You thought about it. Mona's Danish Bakery, Sunrise and Swan, they actually are terrific. They do great work, and you walk in there and you're just kind of overwhelmed in a great sort of way. So check them out on Facebook or find a link at buckmastershow.com. That was Dylan Smith. You've met him earlier, editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Been sitting in for Bill this week, and joining us is Arizona Daily Star reporter Joe Ferguson. I've also dragged my summer intern into the studio. Welcome, Victor Herrera.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Who is your absolute favorite boss in the world ever?
My favorite boss?
Uh-huh.
That's you. That's an easy. What'd you say?
You.
I have
you.
Trained you well.
Yes. Happy okay. birthday, by the
okay.
way.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I'm sure there are gifts back at the office on my desk. Okay, so that's Victor Herrera, a recent grad of the University of Arizona J Department, and a great guy.
Victor's busily pulling up Google Maps at where Mona's is so he can run up there and get you your Kringle.
There we go. I will drive him myself. So, Dylan, I know this kind of stuff just eats at you, so I just cracked up when I saw your Facebook post on the AP style book changes. What is the AP style book doing to hyphens, and why should people care?
Well, I don't think that most people get as passionate about this stuff as people who are in the communications business like we are.
Yeah.
But it's, one of their more recent changes is saying that you do not need to hyphenate compound modifiers if it's a common expression. And a compound modifier would be, I'm trying to think of one I can actually say on the air, because the ones I threw in my Facebook comment were probably things like, Joe, give me a compound modifier, Joe.
The first quarter score.
There you go. I mean, that's a common, news sort of thing. It's a first quarter would generally be hyphenated. So to show you that's a compound term, that those go together. And in written words, it makes things much clearer. And for AP to just kind of throw up its hands and give up on this, they keep giving up on a lot of stuff. It's just, can we complain about the kids today? I'm looking.
Yeah, there we go. They have no rules. Yeah. Victor, do you like hyphens? The answer is yes, but go ahead.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Very much so.
He actually is kind of a stickler for that.
That's
so
excellent.
AP's
changed so much over the last several years of things that just really bug me, and we continue to do things the right way on TucsonSentinel.com. I think we spell out the word percent if
yes.
it's not in a table. The AP recently changed that.
Yep.
I just think it's kind of... It interferes with you reading. It stands out a little bit too much, whereas the word percent just kind of goes with the flow.
Exactly. And whenever AP does these changes, it is so funny to read social media comments, because copy editors and journalists in general are actually quite witty, and they've got just the greatest comebacks for these things. But let me give you a couple of examples. In 2017, the gurus at AP decided that Walmart didn't need a hyphen.
Walmart itself changed their corporate name. So that, do you have to reflect what the business actually calls itself.
Right. And then you mentioned the percentage sign thing.
And the spelling out state names in body copy still drives me crazy. Nobody needs to read the word Connecticut. They say they did this for their overseas subscribers, customers, newspapers across the world that maybe don't know what Connecticut or Massachusetts are when they're abbreviated. If you say Newberry, Connecticut.
Yes.
Generally, we would abbreviate it because
yes.
we live here in this country and know what that is. I'm still going to abbreviate that, because that's a waste of letters. We need to save those letters to spell out percent.
It's all about flow, too.
Yeah.
Just don't get in the way of the readers. And somebody suggested that the AP Stylebook editor must just have too much time on her hands. And so they keep throwing these rules out there because they have to feel relevant or something.
They need to keep selling new style books every year, too. The
yes.
last one I bought was in, 1987, 1988. So,
yours
the word internet
than mine.
Doesn't even... figure in the one that's on my desk.
Okay, very good. So, well, that's going on in there. I have got a friend who graduated from U of A in 1984. His name is Bill Walsh. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago, but he was awesome and ended up being the copy desk chief at the Washington Post. And he has written a couple of books, Lapsing into a Comma and The Elephants of Style, and they're terrific. He would be going nuts over this, I can tell you right now. And there are some people who do, because they're protecting the
I still
language.
Love that pun, that The Elephants of Style.
I tell you.
That's brilliant.
And he was, too, in this area. He was terrific. So, Joe, Rahina Romero, no Republicans in the race. She is, a lot of people have already crowned her mayor, even though she has to go to an election in November. You guys, I know, have hashed this out this week on the show already, and then did a preview of the race and everything. We had the three Democrats in it. Now we have Ed Ackerley, who's an independent. First of all, does he have a snowball's chance, Joe, in November?
Well, we really haven't heard a lot from Ed. He's been kind of lurking around in the corners. He goes to the Democratic debates. He's around a lot, and so he's ready to go. But I got to tell you that, you know, Ed's new to the whole independent thing. He spent 40 years as a Democrat. So I suspect he and Rahina are going to agree on a lot of topics when we get to those debates.
Dylan, does Ed Ackerley have a snowball's chance?
You know, I'm not going to completely count him out.
It's Tucson.
He's a, you know, a smart guy. He, as Joe was saying, he, you know, registered himself as a Democrat back in 1977 and was so until the beginning of this year. So a lot of the things that he believes and stands for would not be completely outside of the mainstream of what Tucson is, which is a Democratic city.
Sure.
He's a little bit more conservative than a lot of the, you know, sort of liberal base of Tucson's Democratic Party. It really depends on whether he raises enough money and gets enough support and really builds a campaign organization that can compete. And that is a really, really hard thing to do.
We don't know. I mean, you know, when given a choice between three Democrats, 49% essentially chose somebody other than Rahina. So we have a lot of people that, you know, voted against her. We don't know where the independents are. We don't know if Republicans are going to turn out in this. And I think the sanctuary city question is really going to drive voters in this ballot. I think that that's going to be the top of the ballot, not the mayor's race.
It might drive people on both sides.
Correct.
People who otherwise might not turn out in this race because there is no Republican on the ballot. You've got a Democrat, you've got an independent, you've got a Green Party candidate, that's it. They might show up just to vote against that. And then, you know, for their, maybe their Republican council candidates, and pick one of those other folks, and who are they going to pick for mayor? So that's a factor, but I think it will also drive some turnout from folks on the left who would maybe otherwise be a little bit checked out and overconfident because, oh, the Democrats have this in the bag, I don't even need to bother to show up. But because Sanctuary City is going to be on there, this initiative, that will make them, you know, not that you have to actually show up at the polls anymore, but that will make them mail their ballot back in or drop it off.
Then, Joe, how do you guys handle someone like Ed Ackerley? You have to, at some point, as a news organization, decide whether he has enough traction to be treated with equality, and that's not quite the right word, but on the same level as Rahina Romero. And I know that you're objective and you're fair and you can play it up the middle, but really, is he, you know, if he's polling at, you know, 5% of the vote, do you still write about him as if he's a serious candidate?
Well, the wonderful thing about the Tucson demographic right now is while the Stars polls have been routinely criticized as of late, I want to say that there isn't any polling in the mayor's race.
As you arch your eyebrow at me.
Okay.
So, you know, we don't know how he's doing. I'm going to give him a fair shake. There's going to be debates. I'm going to quote him just as often as I quote Rahina. And when Mike sees from the Green Party is at a debate, I'm going to quote him too. So I expect that, you know, I should let readers know who their choices are and they can decide amongst themselves who should be mayor, not
me. You know, Ackerley had to, because he chose this independent route, he didn't have to go through a primary, but to get himself on the ballot, he had to go out and get way more nominating signatures than anybody else in this race. He got almost twice as many as he needed, so he got 4,000, you know, some few hundred.
He did.
So he got out there and hustled and did that job, and you know, I think that he deserves to be treated with at least a little bit of credibility because he did that. I don't know if he's got a great chance of being elected mayor, but he's going to be part of the conversation, and you know, Mike Cease had a much easier route to get on the ballot. He only needed to get, 18 votes to earn his way on.
He crushed with 81.
He flipped that number on its head completely. So, yeah, he needed 18 votes, write-in votes. He got 81. And, you know, we actually have a way to have a good conversation. You raised... Dan, you started the conversation positing that some people are, you know, crowning Rahina Romero as mayor already, and you know, that's just not the case. No, she's not the mayor of Tucson.
No, she's not.
Yet.
No.
She very likely will be, but she needs to keep working for it. And I'm certainly not ready to, you know, not have these other people be part of the conversation so that we can ask her tough questions.
You are listening to The Roundtable on The Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer. We are joined by Joe Ferguson of The Star and Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. We had David Eppheimer on the show on Monday. He's the head of Pima County GOP, and we were talking about why there were no Republicans in the race. Why were they just, in essence, giving it to the Democrats? He had several reasons. One of them was that he didn't know a Republican who wanted to take a pay cut for the job. But really, I don't know that that's the real reason, Dylan. Why are the Republicans just kind of giving up on this one?
So hang on. The chairman of the Pima County Republican Party is advocating for higher pay for Tucson's mayor and council?
He didn't quite put it that way, but I can see you. Are you throwing fake news out there now? Okay, so you know what got me about that comment is that he'll work really hard to get people in the state legislature, which has pay even cut in half of what the mayor gets, but they're giving this one up because of low pay. I didn't quite get that. I don't know if they're trying to save face or what, but the fact is the voter registration numbers just play so heavily against him that why bother?
It is really tough. I mean, there are essentially, there's a large chunk of non-party independent voters in the middle, but aren't there twice as many Democrats as there are Republicans on a registration basis?
That's a 2-to-1 margin. It's just you have to play to the independents to really make that number up.
Of course, when the Republicans run a good candidate, they actually tend to turn out, and sometimes the Democrats don't bother to.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that we had Republicans on the council, Republicans as mayor. It wasn't, a lifetime ago, for God's sake.
Feels like it, if you're a Republican.
So. Right now, this is maybe not the election cycle to have a Republican running for mayor in the city of Tucson. It would be a very much an uphill battle. But you can't win if you don't play. And if you aren't out there playing consistently, you're going to be off your game and just, wandering away from things.
Great point.
And not ever contesting really doesn't, set you up to have any kind of success in the future. You can't just say, we're going to wait for voter registration to turn around. That's not going to happen.
Well, I'm going to put our intern on the spot here. One thing I just detest is terms like, it's the year of the young voter, it's the year of the woman voter, it's the year of the this or that voter, because it just generally doesn't pan out. But, Victor, what does it take to get people your age in your early 20s to come out to the polls? What do you think?
I think right now, really, it's just kind of about helping kids that want to have a future. I think, you have a lot of kids that maybe just want to have a chance to, get good jobs and have an education. So I think any way that you could sort of like help them out that way and sort of maybe, just try and, stir something up and kind of attract them to the polls by maybe enticing them that maybe, you have a future of maybe getting a job somehow. I don't know how, but, anything that way, maybe income or minimum wage, things like that are kind of like big issues and, things like equality. I mean, I know that's very, maybe controversial, but just talking about equality and rights and things like that.
You think a lot of them have given up on the system?
I mean, it's difficult to say. I think some of them are probably a little bit more leaning away from the current system right now, and they're looking for maybe something of a more radical change than what they have right now. I think a lot of them are becoming disillusioned with the way the government's being run, and they're looking for alternatives.
Okay. So move on to another topic here. Thank you, Victor. Martha McSally, senator, has a primary challenger in Daniel McCarthy. He's a rich Phoenix businessman who probably doesn't have to really worry about raising money if he wants to dump his own millions into the race. It's going to be an expensive primary, and really, is that what the GOP needs when you got Mark Kelly, the Democrat, waiting at the other end of it? Dylan?
Well, what I want to know is which one of those candidates will Kelly Ward's consulting firm be getting paid by?
AZ Mirror broke that story today, I believe, and I was actually going back and forth with Jim Small.
Fake news, she called it.
Yeah, so Kelly Ward is the head of the state GOP.
She's the chair.
And unfortunately, no one's talking to AZ Mirror, but ArizonaMirror.com or AZMirror.com, go check out that story. Very interesting.
Yeah, she has a political consulting company she and her husband founded that is getting paid to work on or sign contracts to work on behalf of a couple of legislative candidates. And really, the chair of the statewide party is supposed to be neutral in primaries. So that's raising some eyebrows and causing some kerfuffles amongst Republicans today. But to your original question, I think that's going to be, I can't see McSally necessarily losing a primary, but it's going to take her some effort.
You should see her fundraising emails. I just got one real soon. She is up at night worrying about numbers, apparently.
Okay.
So. Should she be Joe?
I don't think she should.
That makes for a great fundraising email, though.
It's a concerning email right now, to be honest. It's a sitting senator who's up at night worried about whether or not she's raising enough money.
But she'll have to raise some money. She'll have to spend some money to get through a primary. And strategically, she'll have to maybe take some positions a little bit more vocally right-wing than she would want to position herself for a general election. And I think that's maybe, you know, the biggest, if I were the chair of the Republican Party in this state, that would be my biggest concern right now, would be, you know, McSally not doing well in the next general election. She didn't the last time.
Joe, we got about a minute left. You're going to get the last question here. Mark Kelly, again, the Democrat candidate for U.S. Senate, going up against Martha McSally and now Daniel McCarthy. Is he a one-issue candidate, gun control?
He doesn't make it that way, but I'd like to see a lot more of him down here to really understand that issue. Certainly, we're known for his gun control, but, you know, I've been in the room a few times with him, and so has other issues, but, you know, we see him so infrequently that it's hard to really flesh that out.
Okay, something to watch over the next year, and boy, we're talking about it pretty intensely here a year out, and it's just, I'm already tired. That is our Friday roundtable for this week. My thanks to Dylan Smith and Joe Ferguson.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
When we return, we are going to give you a little help planning your long Labor Day weekend. We'll be right back.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamori.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
It is now time for Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next few days. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. You can't miss in New Mexico. There's historic downtown Silver City. You can visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument in Grant County for a complete listing of the many things to do, great places to stay. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dan. I got to say, you know, as a food writer, I found riveting your conversation about hyphens and compound modifiers. I mean, I'm a fellow journalism geek in full transparency, so thank you for lightening my day. I loved it.
That's the burning issue of the week for us, man.
Although you guys know my editors at Inside Tucson Business, Jim and Logan, you know, I tease them every week because I will go to the mat on the Oxford comma,
Air.
And those two do not like the Oxford comma, but I keep them in anyway, knowing that they have to take the time to remove them from my drafts. But anyway, I digress.
I hate the Oxford comma, but you're allowed to have your own thoughts on that. So, hey, you sent me your lineup for today, and of course, the first one on your list is absolutely the most important.
Yeah, absolutely. Little bird told me it's your birthday today, Dan.
Hello, hello.
Okay, so what a great day to have a birthday, because tonight is the highly anticipated grand reopening of the Coronet. They've moved into the old Cushing Street Bar and Grill space downtown. Now, you know, this building was built in the 1860s.
Wow.
And Sally Kane and her team have done an amazing job kind of preserving what worked and freshening up what didn't. I had the opportunity to check out the new space and the menu earlier this week, and I can say with confidence, Dan Shearer, that your birthday dinner there tonight will be of historic magnitude. Have a great time at the Coronet.
We are going to skip those plans for Pizza Hut and head to the Coronet. So that's what we should do. And you know what? It only gets better. What else we have?
It does. You know, nothing says Tucson better than salsa, tacos, and tequila, and all three of them will be on parade on Sunday evening up at La Encantada. It's the annual Salsa, Taco, and Tequila Challenge. Starting at 7 o'clock, nearly 50 local restaurants and bars are going to be serving up their unique expressions of this tasty trio, along with live music as well as judging choices and People's Choices Awards. Tickets are $55. Charities benefit. You can go to Saca, S-A-A-C-A, Saca.org for your tickets today.
Oh, excellent. Great idea. And then the Monsoon Harvest Dinner. What is this all about?
Yeah, this is really cool, guys. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, Chef Wendy Garcia of Tumerico, she's going to be partnering with Exo Roast Coffee and Barrio Bread and the Mission Garden for what they call kind of a culinary exploration of Tucson's unique heritage foods. And they call it the Monsoon Harvest Dinner. And it's going to feature a thoughtful multi-course menu that's been created to sort of showcase these regional foods. They're going to have live entertainment, companion presentations on the region's cultural history and culinary history. It's going to happen at the Ramada Inn on Cushing Street, and tickets can be purchased at tucsonsbirthplace.org. A complete coincidence that Cushing Street appears twice in the Weekend Watch today. This episode of Weekend Watch brought to you by the Cushing Street Chamber of Commerce.
You pointed it out before I could. Hey, give us a little peek at your Inside Tucson business column.
Yes, sir. Sonoran Restaurant Week kicks off next Friday. Of course, it's actually 10 days, the only commemorative week that is double the length of time. I sat down with two local chefs to kind of check out what they have up their sleeves for this culinary commemorative. You can read that entire story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. Sans the Oxford comma, but I did my best, guys.
Thank you, Matt Russell. Hey, little heads up here. I'm heading to Israel tomorrow for vacation. We go there all the time, though. It's not like a pilgrimage or anything. But when I get back, I'm going to want some falafel recommendations.
Oh, I have them for you ready to go. Have a safe trip, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Matt Russell.
Cheers.
The Buckmaster Show, that's going to wind it up for us. Thank you to Dylan and to Joe and to Victor. And the Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at Bustos Media in Tucson, including producer, engineer Bob Dio and Buckmaster Show executive assistant Rosemary Brandt, I'm Dan Shear, wishing a wonderful and safe Labor Day weekend.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local.